Hi, this is Mike Verdiccio. Welcome to another podcast here on confidenceandjoy.com. Thanks for taking the time to listen. It's Monday morning, July the 26th, 2010. Actually, I'm in Denver, Colorado right now. I'm going to catch a plane in a couple of hours and fly home. I've had a really packed weekend. Time with my daughter on Friday, time with my brother also on Friday. I was at a conference in Colorado Springs Friday night till Sunday afternoon, and then time with my mom yesterday, time with my daughter and son-in-law last night and this morning. So it's been quite a packed weekend. And I must say, the expectant couple seem to be doing very well, anticipating the new arrival of their first coming this December. But I was thinking this morning, the topic of trusting God is so important and so critical, especially during these economic times that we're living in, that I wanted to go ahead and post this podcast rather than wait till I get home, because I know that after being gone for a few days, I'm behind on a lot of things. So I thought I'd go ahead and do this now. And you know, one of the reasons I'm doing this is because I think that there are some people that have some misconceptions about trusting God. You know, it says in Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." You know, trusting God is not just sticking your head in the sand and ignoring any and all responsibility. You know, thinking, well, God's just going to take care of everything. I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to do anything. God's in control. He's going to take care of everything. You know, on the other hand, there are some people who think, I've got to do all this by myself. You know, I have to take full responsibility for everything. And they do that so much that they never allow God to bless what they're doing because they think that they need to do it all. So where's the balance in all of this? Well, I want to share with you some very important things about building and developing your trust in God. You know, in Proverbs that I was just talking about, when it says, lean not to your own understanding, doesn't mean that you don't think. You know, people say, look, I don't want to know anything. I don't care what's going on. I don't need any details. I don't want any facts. I'm just trusting God. And I'm not leaning. I'm just trusting God. You know, it's not negative or wrong to get the facts. We just don't need to lean to our own understanding about those facts. You know, some people preach and teach that, you know, looking at facts or information is negative and not trusting God. And that's just not biblical. Remember when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him how they could possibly feed such a big crowd? What did Jesus do? Did he say, okay, let's just pray because God's just got to do something. God's in control, you know. No, he didn't do that at all, did he? He asked some questions. He got some facts and information, didn't he? He asked how much food they had. Are you kidding me? Ask how much food they had on hand? I mean, this was a crowd of around 4,000 besides women and children, the Bible says. I mean, how many truckloads of food would it take to feed thousands and thousands of people? But Jesus just asked, well, how much food we have on hand here? He wanted to know the facts. Now, perhaps it was for their benefit, but he certainly didn't think it was negative to ask the question, did he? And here's a key point. How did Jesus respond once he knew the facts? They had 7 loaves of bread and a few little fishes. I always laugh because the Bible says little fishes. I mean, does it matter if the fishes were big fishes, huge fishes, or little fishes when you only have a few for thousands? But anyway, that's a little sidebar for you. But once he knew the facts, he trusted God for a solution. He allowed God to direct his steps. And as a result, everyone ate enough, the Bible says, to be filled. And there were 7 baskets of leftovers. Imagine that. More food left over than what you started with. How about the record of the man bringing his boy to Jesus? Jesus asked how long it had been going on. In other words, he got information. He got the facts. But he did not lean to his own understanding concerning those facts. And that's important to recognize. You can read sometime in the Gospel of Luke about counting the cost, evaluating what it's going to take to build a tower, or the other example that's used there is to go to war. That's the other side, taking responsibility. You know, we can't just say, well, God has promised me that I should prosper and be in health, so I guess I can do anything and everything I want, and it's just going to happen automatically because I'm trusting God. You see, we need to remember that we're all still responsible for our own actions, right? We can say I'm walking out on faith or I'm trusting God, but we're still accountable for our actions. So just what do we mean when we say that we're trusting God? Trust is a part of believing. And to believe something is to have confidence and trust in the information. The reason that believing is so important is because when you believe what God has promised, then it comes to pass. There are numerous places in the Scripture that teach that. You know, in Romans 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You believe, and God brings it to pass. Jesus said, "All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Believing happens in the heart. In the heart. Just because you think you believe something doesn't mean that it's in your heart. You know, the Bible says, as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there's another verse that says, "Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your own heart, are the issues of life, your life." So believing happens in the heart. And in the heart is where our core beliefs are, or as some call it, your belief system. There's a lot of names for it. God simply refers to it as the heart. You know, almost every self-help book or motivational book or course, they all basically say the same thing. In order for change on the outside, there first must be change on the inside. And that means you change the internal first, or you'll always be controlled by the external. Unless you change the internal, you'll be controlled by the external. Think about David. As a young boy, he built a confidence and trust in God. He gave God credit in helping to protect his sheep from the bears and the lions, if you're familiar with that part of the Bible. He had built a trust and a confidence in his heart. Now, in contrast, in the story about David and Goliath, not even King Saul, no one had any confidence and trust in God in the face of big old Goliath. They were all scared. They were all full of fear. They were all immobilized. They were paralyzed. They were all being controlled by the external. Now, think about this. The facts were the same for both Saul and the army as they were for David, right? I mean, the facts didn't magically change when David came on the scene. He saw and heard the same things they saw and heard. David didn't use the armor and the sword to go out against Goliath. But what did he use? He utilized his own skills and abilities. Yes, God was working with him, but working in him with something that he was familiar with. But on the other hand, David still had to throw the stone, right? God didn't put the stone in the sling and spin it around and then fly it out at Goliath. No, David still had to throw the stone. In other words, David had to utilize his own free will. So when it comes to the facts are just the facts. They are what they are. But it's how we choose to respond to the facts that will determine whether we trust God or not. If we look at the facts that are presented to us and see our situation as just too big with no solution possible, then how can we possibly trust God to provide a solution for us? It's never the facts themselves that stop us. Rather, it's our reaction to those facts. So when presented with facts, whatever category or situation they relate to, you have to check and see how the facts make you feel. You ever thought about that? Now, I'm not saying that you should follow your feelings. I'm talking about trusting in God. So how in the world are your feelings a part of that? Well, how did you feel not too long ago when the price of gasoline was $4, $4.50, $5, depending on what part of the country you lived in? How did that make you feel? How about now? Gas in Arizona is now around $2.70 a gallon. So how does that make you feel? You see, those numbers are just facts, aren't they? But how you feel about them is a big key to what you really believe. I know people say you should ignore your feelings. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But you see, having confidence in God and trusting God is believing God. Believing happens in your heart. And when you develop a core belief of trusting in God, then you'll not be controlled by what's going on around you. You know, there are a number of records in the Bible where the numbers just didn't add up. Elisha's servants saw how outnumbered they were. But Elisha asked God to open his eyes, and then he saw that they were indeed not outnumbered. How about Jonathan? He took his arm bearer and went to battle. Just the two of them. He made that great statement, "For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." You see, numbers and odds are not the issue. They're not the deciding factor. Have you ever read about Samson? Or what about Gideon with the 300 men against an army of, I don't know, they estimate 145,000? You see, we can know what the facts are, and we can face those facts with confidence in our God. We can look at the numbers, good or bad, and still trust in God. But again, how do the facts or the numbers or the situations make you feel? If you have doubt, worry, and fear, then you cannot have confidence or trust in God. And you know something? Knowing just that can be a real asset for you. Knowing that if you have doubt, worry, and fear, you cannot have confidence or trust in God. That's a great asset, just knowing that. You know why? Well, it says in 2 Corinthians that we should examine ourselves, not examine everybody else. I know a lot of people like to examine everybody else. Oh, look what he's doing. Oh, I think this. The Bible says we should examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith or in the right way of believing. And examine means to pierce, to test. You know, like you check a cake with a toothpick? I've never done it, but that's what I hear you do, to find out if the cake is done. The Bible says we should check out our own heart. Take a look. What's in there? There are a number of places in the Scriptures that talk about putting off and putting on. Now, most people don't want to look at their heart. They don't want to honestly examine. You know, they say, well, that's just being negative. So their method is to just keep quoting Scripture or reading Scripture. You know, that's putting on the Word. And they hope that all that putting on will remove what shouldn't be there. Well, here's a good question to ask yourself. If that is the right method, then why did God say over and over to put off and then put on, to cast down, to put away, to lay aside? Why did he say to examine your own heart if the method is just put on, put on, put on? You see, how can you put off what you don't know or can't see what's there? Now, you've probably heard, if it feels good, do it. Well, we know that can't be right. But then why throw out the baby with the bathwater by saying all feelings are wrong, you can't go by your feelings? But yes, we all do have feelings, don't we? Ever ask yourself, where did feelings come from? Who gave us feelings in the first place? Who gave us emotions? It's the way we were built. It's the way we were designed by our Creator. You know, it's okay. In fact, it's a good idea to take careful note of how the facts or the numbers or the situations make you feel. Let's take the army of Israel I was talking about a few minutes ago. How did they feel in the face of Goliath? Afraid. They had fear. Well, why were they afraid? Well, what is fear? They had no confidence and trust in God. The army of God's chosen people. The army of God's chosen people with a history of God's deliverance and God taking care of them, the entire army, including King Saul, all afraid. You see, no one addressed their fears in that army. No one looked at it and determined that the fear had to go and needed to be replaced with confidence and trust in God. If you have doubt, if you have worry, if you have fear, then you cannot have confidence or trust in God. And knowing or realizing that you have doubt or fear can be a real asset for you. Why? Because you can choose to put off that fear. You can make a conscious decision to put off the fear from your mind and replace it with confidence and trust in God. You know, there are so many places in the Scriptures that remind us that we can indeed trust in God. One of my favorites is Psalm 34. Have you read it lately? You ought to check it out sometime. That and Psalm 91 as well. You know, the facts are the facts. They are what they are. But it's how we choose to respond to the facts that will determine whether we trust God or not. You know, it's easy to just say, my job is not my sufficiency, my God is. But how would you feel if you lost your job? See, I can relate to that. You see, if God truly is your supplier, then he can provide another source. right? But we have to get honest. We have to examine ourselves. We have to take a look and get honest. We have to take a look to where there's opposition or doubt to what the Word of God promises. We have to see that. We have to recognize that. And it's not negative to take a look. And when we take a look, we're just getting honest. We're just examining. We're just checking it out to see what's in there. You see, you can make a conscious effort to put off something you don't want in your heart, to put it away, to cast it down, to lay it aside, and then in its place, put the promise of God. You know, going back to that verse in Proverbs that I started with earlier, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your steps. That's what He promised. He promised to direct your steps. What a promise that is, to direct our steps. But if we're not taking any steps, there's nothing to direct, is there? You know, when it comes to faith or believing, which basically means to have confidence and trust, the Bible says that faith or believing comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Alexander Scorby recorded the entire Bible. Now, you can put on the CDs and listen all day long to the Bible if you want to. You can have them playing in the background all day long. You can plug them in with the headphones and listen to them while you sleep and not increase your faith or your believing 1 ounce. You know why? It's not magic. I know it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but it's not magic. I know the words of God are powerful words, and I'm all in favor of reading the Bible or listening to scriptures, hearing teachings on the Bible, all in favor of that. All of those things are wonderful, but what's most important is what's going on in your head, your free will processing of information. I mean, think about this. Who do you think was the greatest teacher of God's Word ever? Well, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there were people that heard Him speak God's Word. You know, you can read in the Gospel of John that after Jesus Christ shared God's Word, some people said, you know what, this is a hard saying to hear. And it says, many of His disciples walked no more with Him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here on earth, listening to Him teach, and then after the teaching going, you know what, we're not buying this, okay? We're not buying into this at all. We're not going to hang around anymore. Can you believe that? You see, the point I'm trying to make, it's not enough to just hear the Word of God. How about the Apostle Paul? When he spoke God's Word on Mars Hill, people heard the great Apostle Paul share God's Word, and some of the people mocked him. You see, it's not enough to just hear the Word of God. Part of the doing, part of our responsibility is to examine ourselves, to honestly take a look, and then if we see some worry, some doubt, some fear, whatever, we put it off, we put it away, we throw it out, we lay it aside, we cast it out, we release the opposition to the Word of God and then consciously replace it with what the Word of God says so that we can trust God. That's how you begin building a trust in God. You know, when the Word says to examine yourself, you know, see what's in there, it's not talking about, oh, I'm angry, I shouldn't be angry, I need to be loving, I need to stop being angry, I need to just put on love. You don't need to examine yourself to see if you're angry. You already know you're angry. But take a look and see why you're angry. Why are you afraid? Why are you disturbed? Take a look and get to the root of it. You know, God gave us feelings, and our feelings give us an indication of what's going on the inside. How do you feel when you take a look at your checkbook? I mean, think about it. It's just numbers. How do you feel when you hear the news? Funny thing is, a lot of news that you hear, not really the facts, but the speculation and the opinion of somebody else. But God gave us feelings and emotions. That's how we're made. And again, our feelings give us an indication of what's going on the inside. Now, when we recognize something, we take a look at it. If it's in opposition to God's Word, if there's some doubt, some unrest, if there's some fear, then we need to make a conscious effort to put it off. I see that fear there. I see the fear that I have there. But I choose to not keep that fear. I choose to put that fear off, to kick it out, lay it aside, cast it down, whatever you want to say. And instead, I'm going to put on in my heart and mind a trust, trusting God. Now, I may have to do that several times a day, but I just keep doing it until that fear, that worry, that doubt is gone. In other words, I keep putting off and putting on until it's gone. Have you ever heard that phrase, light dispels darkness? Some people think that if they read enough Bible or hear enough teachings or memorize enough verses and just saturate themselves with the light of God's Word, then that which is negative or evil will just go away because light dispels darkness. Well, you know something? Physically, light dispels darkness, doesn't it? If the room is dark and you turn the lights on, the dark goes away, right? Physical light simply illuminates or it exposes what the darkness covers up or hides. You see, if you're out in the woods and you're trying to walk in the woods and it's dark, you might run into a tree or trip over a rock. If you turn the flashlight on, introduce the light, it illuminates where you're walking, but it doesn't remove the rock that you were just about to fall over, does it? Light simply illuminates. It lets you see what's in front of you. Physical light just simply illuminates or exposes what the darkness covers up or it hides. The same is true with the light of God's Word. God's Word exposes, it illuminates, it uncovers what is hiding. Then once you see it, you can choose to remove it if you want. It's your choice. So again, unless you change the internal, what's on the inside, you'll be controlled by the external, what's on the outside. And always remember that regardless of the circumstances or the facts, we can have confidence and trust in our God. We can choose to day by day continue to build and build our trust in God. We do that by casting off and putting off that which is contrary to what He promises that we find is in our heart. We throw it out, and in its place, we put on what God has promised to us. And that's a little bit about building a trust in God. And that's it for this podcast. If you've got a comment, go ahead and type it in down below. And don't forget, if you're a subscriber to this blog, well, you don't have to bookmark the site. You don't have to come back and check and see if I posted something new, because every time I do post something new, you'll get notified personally. And it doesn't cost you anything to subscribe to this blog. It's free. Whether you do that email or RSS, that's up to you. But if you do decide to subscribe, as my way of saying thank you, I'm going to give you a free lifetime membership to my site, Enriching Your Life Now. There's a link with some information down below. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Mike Verdicchio. Have a great day.